if many of you go by your schedule, you can tell the schedule has been changed for tonight. Tim Patterson was supposed to be speaking, and Karen and I are leaving next week, hopefully next Wednesday, going to Florida to help repair from all the damages down there. And we're taking the family for a vacation. So we'll know by Saturday whether it's a vacation or a work party. So pray for us. Does everybody have one of the yellow outlines? Karen doesn't have one. I think there's some extra ones here. Where's the extra ones at? They're right here, Karen.
I've got some here.
Okay, good. I know I printed enough. So anyway, tonight I want us to wrap up the book of 1 John. And, you know, it's quite a blessing to read 1 John. And I know that this book was one of the first books I read before I got saved. And this one and the Gospel of John was very instrumental in my life in getting saved when I was instructed and given the principles that we're going to be looking at tonight about the witnesses of God. And you know, we looked at this book earlier and we looked at all of the if statements. And there's 21 if statements in this little book. And the word testimony is in it 9 times. And it's amazing how we see all of these little words connect together. And I'd like us to look at 1 John chapter 5. If this print is too small for it and you can't see it, be sure to use your bold print Bible so that you can see. But hopefully we'll be able to look at the principles I want us to look at. And just before we finish, I've got another little outline that these guys here are going to pass out to everybody right before we stop. And the reason I didn't give it to you earlier is you'd be reading it and rather than listening to what I'm saying. Jeff, you don't have that problem. All you need is an outline, and people are making airplanes out of it. That's what Ray Bullins does. But let's look at this right here. I want us to think about the witnesses that's mentioned in these few verses right here and the importance of these witnesses. Listen to what it says in 1 John 5, 6. It says, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who hears, bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now, and I put the NLT translation of it there, and you could read that if you want to. But, you know, you think about the different witnesses that we see here. The Lord Jesus, he came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at some of the different commentators on this topic. Some will say the water mentioned here was at the water baptism when John baptized him and when the Holy Spirit came down upon him. And many will say the blood was what was shed at Calvary. And they bear witness to who he was. And some people say the water is the Spirit and not the water baptism. But I'll let you be the scholar to research that. And I've read many commentators, but none of them can really prove their point. But they say that that's what they think it means. And so I'll just let them be the leader for that. But think about it. Verse 7, you've got 3 witnesses in heaven. It says, there are 3 who bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these 3 are one. So who is it talking about? Who is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit? It's the Trinity, isn't it? We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the living Word, wasn't he? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, and we beheld his glory. But there's three kind of witnesses there that he mentions in heaven. Now, look at what he says, the witnesses on earth. Verse 8, it says, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. And again, you know, many believe it that this was at the baptism. And you know, when the baptism came, or when he was baptized, what happened when he came up out of the water? The Holy Spirit came down like a dove, didn't he? And landed on him. And what did the Father say? This is my well-beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And isn't that amazing? These witnesses here on earth. And of course, John could remember that and as he wrote this. But look at he gives us two more types of witnesses. He says in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. Two different types of witnesses. You know, I remember, again, when I got saved, Mr. Stewart showed me this passage of Scripture, and he talked about the different types of witness. And he said, who would you believe? If John told you something, or God told you something, which one would you believe? Now, John might be right. Jeff might be right. Randy might be right, right? But you think about the witness of man. Do we know all of the facts? We don't know the thoughts and the intents of people's heart, what they were thinking when they did what they did or what they said. But which witness is the greatest? It's God, isn't it? You know, it's interesting when you think about this right here, the witness of God and the witness of man. You know, we're told in Hebrews chapter 6 that it says there, thus, and it's in the center column, the witness of God who cannot lie. It says there, I'm going to jump in at verse 17. Thus God determining to show more abundant to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul. Now, if God cannot lie, can we trust his word? He doesn't have to raise his hand and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because whatever he says, it's the truth, isn't it? You know, I was reminded recently, little Mark, our 11-year-old grandson, he said he raised his right hand and he swore that he was the greatest son his dad had. But you get the point, though, right? Who can you believe? And I think it's interesting when you look at this this particular concept. Every jot and tittle, the Lord Jesus said, he would fulfill it. All of the law was fulfilled. And you can look at that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. And the Lord said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Whatever God says, it's forever settled in heaven. I remember there was a song that we used to sing, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. I think that song, the intent behind it was that we agree with what God is saying. But, you know, if we don't agree, it's still settled, isn't it? It doesn't matter. You know, it's interesting. Monday afternoon, I was took a walk out on Chickapin Trail, and I handed a guy a track. And he had a lot of anger in his face. He gave it back to me. And he said, "I don't believe in heaven." "You don't believe in heaven?" "No, I don't." And he was real angry. And I wanted to tell him, "You know what? After you die, it'll be that quick, and you'll believe in hell. But I pray that I'll be able to see this guy again, and he'll be open to talking." But whatever God says, it's true, and you can rest your hope on it, because it's forever settled in heaven. But listen to what he says here as you go on. "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself." He who believes. That's somebody that's saved, isn't it? When you come and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you get saved, isn't it? And John says here that when you do that, what do you have? You've got a witness within you. And what is that witness that's in you? It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You've got the Holy Spirit in it. And you know, it's interesting, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "God sent forth His Spirit, sent forth the Spirit of His Son unto you, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." In other words, the Holy Spirit is crying to your heart to let you know that you need to be crying out to God, don't you? He's your Father. And I love this particular concept right here. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And you know, if we were to have time for testimonies right here, many of you could tell us about the time when you really had something going on inside of you that confirmed to you that you really were born again. That you really did have the Spirit of God living in you and giving you a new set of desires. You know, I can remember back when I got saved back in 1969, I'd been saved maybe a couple of months, and I was coming down to get on Highway 29 to go over to Shannon Hills, and a friend of mine was coming off of 29, and we stopped right there because we recognized the cars and everything. And we started talking for a minute or two. And they asked me, "Where are you headed to?" "I'm going to a prayer meeting." "You're going where?" "I'm going to a prayer meeting, and we're going to have a Bible study after the prayer meeting." "Ha, ha, ha." They started laughing at me. And you know what? I said, "I'll see you later." And I drove off. But you know what? It was between Bessemer Avenue in Shannon Hills, as I made that little route, I realized, you know what? Something has happened to you. You're a different person. You've been born again. You really are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, several months earlier, I'd been going with them. And I don't know where they were going, but I probably would have hopped in and gone. But you know what? That's what we need, isn't it? The Spirit of God telling us in our hearts that we really are a child of God. And you have that witness within you. But listen to what he says here in the latter part of verse 10 there. It says, "He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he does not believe the testimony that God has given of his Son." If you don't believe that God sent his Son to be the payment for your sin, and you don't believe God, what are you calling God? You call him a liar, aren't you? Now, would you stand up and tell somebody and point your finger at them? How dumb would you be if you pointed your finger at God and called him a liar? I'd be afraid lightning would strike me. But that's what I would deserve, right? But God is long-suffering and patient with us. But you know what? If we don't believe the gospel, what are we calling God? We call Him a liar, aren't we? Because the testimony that we have in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If we don't believe that, we're calling God a liar. You know, I wish you'd pray with me about a neighbor of mine. I've been talking to him for 30 years. And this afternoon when I stopped by and I started talking to him, we talked about 30 minutes about the good old days. And then we got into the gospel. And he told me how he had made a profession, but he doesn't go to church. He's seen too many people that didn't live up to their confession of faith. And that's why he didn't go to church. And I asked him if he ever read the Bible himself. No. And I asked him if he had a Bible. No. And I asked him if I could bring him a Bible. Yes. So I'm going to take him a Bible up there tomorrow. And pray that I'll be able to get into a conversation with this guy, because he has been running since he was a little young fellow, I should say. His dad was killed when a truck hit him out on Highway 158, about a mile from where he lives now. And you know what? There are many people that are angry at God because something happened in their lives, and they don't want to hear anything He's got to say. But He's the only one that can solve the problem that's going on in our hearts, isn't He? And He can take the tragedies of life and use it to His glory. You know, I've shared my testimony before. It was my brother-in-law, Jim Trent, that got killed on a motorcycle wreck that caused me to start looking for the answers and the solutions to the anxieties that I had in my heart. And it took me just a couple of months, and I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Lord used a terrible accident to reach me. And then you've heard the story in my family when Patricia got killed in that car wreck. 16 in the family got saved in 1 week. And every time we have a family get together, that subject comes up. But you know what? We need to believe God, don't we? And when we believe God and we start searching the Scriptures, that's when we find Him. When we search for Him with all our heart, that's when we find God in it. If we're not searching, if we're not looking, you won't find it. But listen to what He says right here in verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? There's two things that's going on here. The one who believes and the one who does not believe. It's an either or, isn't it? It's not a hope so, not a maybe so. It's a no so. When you have trust Christ and you receive Him as your Savior, you get this assurance that you need. And I love the way He says it here. And this life is how? It's in His Son, we're told there in that verse. Either you have the Son or you don't have the Son. It's an either or. It's not a maybe so. But John goes on in verse 13. Listen to what he says. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And, you know, it's interesting. You go look at the Gospel of John. Why did he write the Gospel of John? Well, we're told there that the reason he wrote that was that people would believe, they would believe. And that's what God wants us to do. And you know, I think it's interesting when you think about that right there. When you receive Christ, God does a miracle in your heart, doesn't he? And he wants you to live for him and be an obedient child. He wants you to listen to what he's got to say to you. And he wants you to know, and you'll see later on, and he wants us to continue. Listen to what it says there in verse 13. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That's why it's written. You know, I've thought about it, and I read this many years ago, and a man was talking about, what kind of a father would you be, men, if you knew the answer to all of the questions in life and you didn't share any of those answers with your kids? What kind of father would you be? You'd be a mess, wouldn't you? But what has God done? You know, in his word that he's given us, he's told us, and he's revealed all of these things to us. How did it all get here? Did something come from nothing? No, it didn't. God spoke and bam, it happened. You know, you can look at all of the questions people have in life, and we don't have to go on to look at all of those questions, but who gives us the correct answer to all of them? What is there after life? Listen to some of the philosophies you read today. Well, you just return to ashes and that's it. Okay? It's crazy, some of the philosophies out there, and we're not going to look at that because I got a lot more I want to cover tonight. But God wants you to believe, to know, and to continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And isn't it interesting that when you believe in him and you receive Christ, what does the Father do for you? He receives you and adopts you as a child. Does it get any better than that? You become part of the family of God. But listen to what else it says. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Okay? I think when we get born again and we're living for the Lord and we believe, we know, and we continue in it, we have answered prayer, don't we? We have confidence in prayer. And because what do we know? He hears us, doesn't he? And how many times could you tell if we were to have a list of prayers that God's answered for you? What would they be? I can remember God answered one of my biggest prayers at the hospital in Greensboro back several years ago when Lauren, we took her there and her blood sugar was 900 and some. And we thought she was going to die. She didn't know who we were. And she was in a coma for about 4 days. God answered our prayer. And we're so thankful she's in Texas now serving out there at a library conference and sharing all these things. But I just want to go through these verses here real quickly because I want us to look at another little outline I've got here. It says in verse 16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. Now, we know that there are some people that when they are doing sin, what's the result? You know, it's interesting. You could look in the 1 Corinthians there, he says there, many are weak and sickly among you, and for this, some people even die. Now, you know, it's amazing. You can look at all the scriptures that deals with sicknesses and so forth, And you'll see when the Lord healed people, the disciples asked, who sinned? Did he sin or his parents sin? Neither one of them sinned. It was for the glory of God. The woman that was caught in adultery, when he told her to leave, there was nobody there to cast a stone at her because they were sinners too. What did he tell her? Go and sin no more. Okay? And there was another one that was healed, and he told him, go and sin no more. But he said, when somebody is living in a wicked, wicked lifestyle, and they tell everybody they're believers, and maybe they are a believer. I could give you some illustrations of people I know that died very early in life because they were living in a wicked lifestyle, and they had a profession that they were trusting Christ. Now, we don't know the answer to this. All we know is that when we get to heaven, we can get the real answer, and we won't know the real answer until we get there. But listen to verse 17 here. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not keep on sinning. Or does not keep on sinning, is what the ESV says. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and that we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a true God. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. That's how John concludes this great little epistle. Keep yourself from idols. Okay? And he wants you to know the truth from God. Guys, could you take that white sheet there and pass it out to everybody? Because I'd like us to look at some verses here, and there's more verses on the sheet there that you can look at. But I only have about 7-8 minutes left, and I didn't have time to go through all the things I wanted to cover tonight. But I want us to think about this right here. John's little book gives us more verses that describes what it looks like to be born again. Born again. And you'll see this expression several times, and I took and put together this outline. And, you know, I didn't write these words. All I'm doing is reading them. So if you've got a problem with these words, your problem is not with me, it's with God. Because he's the one that had these words written. But listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove yourself. Examine your heart. And I think when you look at these different verses here, I've got them laid out in the order in which John's little epistle puts them out. And there's a couple of them that we could connect together because they're very similar. But look at what it says right here in 1 John 2:9, the first point in this sheet. Do I practice righteousness? Am I doing what I know is right? If I know what to do, if I know what is right and what I ought to be doing, and I don't do it, what's that called?
Sin,
isn't it? But listen to what John says here. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. In other words, which direction are you headed in life? Are you headed in the direction of going in the right way or down the wrong road or the wrong way? If you're not practicing righteousness, right, he says, you're not born of God. That's a tough statement, isn't it? And I think that's a good thing, because I've had a number of people in my 53 years that's come to me and asked me that question. How could they know for certain that they were really born again? And I think these verses right here gives us the answers that if we're going in the wrong direction, what do we need to do? What does repentance look like? A turnaround, 180, right? And start going this way. And how do we practice righteousness? I think it starts off with reading God's Word, right? And then what we read, we heed. We start doing it. And, you know, we start praying. And you could, we could give you a whole list of things that we've seen in this epistle so far. But listen to what he says in 1 John 3:9, question number two. Do I practice righteousness was the first one. Do I practice sin? That's the opposite, isn't it? He says, whoever has been born of God does not sin or practice sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And of course, the NLT says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, does not make a practice of sinning. So if you are practicing sin, right, what's that an indication? You're not a believer, are you? You're not born again. If you're practicing sin, living in known sin, I could give you many illustrations about that as well. But listen to the third question here. It says, do I confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? And listen to what John says here. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Who is Jesus? Was it God in the flesh? It was, wasn't it? And if you don't believe that, you don't believe the writings of Scripture. Because how many times do we see that written and verbalized in the Scripture for us to believe? That's why they crucified him, wasn't it? Because he declared himself to be the Son of God. And what kind of a prophets were all of those guys that did that? They thought they were Pharisees, but they were not fair, were they? The Sadducees, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And you look at these different ones that crucified the Lord Jesus, why did they do it? Because they didn't believe what he confessed with his mouth. You remember when he asked them several times during the trials, and the last statement the priest asked him, are you the one? And when he said, it's as you say, he ripped his robe in two, and that was something a priest, high priest, was not supposed to do. But look at point number four. I'm going to have to go for a couple minutes overtime, guys. Listen to what it says here. Is my life characterized by love? Look at what it says in verse 7 of 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you don't have love in your heart, you're not born of God. And what is it that motivates us to do what's right? What motivates us to return good for evil? What is it that motivates us to love an enemy? Can you imagine that? Somebody punch you on one side of the mouth, what do you do? You give them the other side. Are we ready to do that? No. But he says here, everyone who loves, we love him. Or in the a lot of the text, the word him is not there in 1 John 4. We love because he first loved us. But both statements is true. We love him because he first loved us. But we love one another because he first loved us, don't we? But look at the next one here. Do I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one? And we just looked at that. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead, what happens? You get saved, don't you? And if you don't believe that he was, that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah, you're not born again. Look at the next one. Do I love other believers who are born of God? Ooh, listen to this. I and everyone who loves him who begat or born of God also loves him who is begotten of him. In other words, somebody that's been born again, what should you do to the other people who's been born again? What do? You love them, don't you?
Yeah.
And if you don't love them, what's it an indication of?
That you're not of God.
You're not born again. Now, I know we all fail in this, but I'm saying if we live that as a lifestyle, something is definitely wrong. And here's a verse we looked at the last time I spoke in 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? How do you become an overcomer? In the last message, we looked at the different overcomers in Scripture and how to be an overcomer. But you know what? In Romans 13, it talks about, or Romans 12, I think it is, it talks about overcoming evil with good. But if you are overcome by evil and you return evil for evil, you have been overcome by evil, haven't you? But the real strength and the power you get is when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you invite him into your heart and you start living for him. And you start obeying these scriptures that you read. And listen to the last one, 1 John 5:18. But he who has been born again keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Keep yourself. You know, Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. That's what we need to do, isn't it? And, you know, I heard a story one time about a guy, and he said he was walking along, and somebody told him, do you realize that Satan is following you? He said, well, it's not a problem. We're both walking in the same direction. Do you want to walk in the same direction he walks? Get thee behind me, Satan, is what he told Peter. Because why? Peter told him, no, we're not going to let you go to be crucified. We're not going to let anything bad happen to you. But it's amazing when you look at all of these verses here. And there's some other verses that I could put on that it talks about a believer, they don't do these things. And isn't it amazing? That's where the Scripture comes in such a beautiful picture in our lives. When we're walking with the Lord, and when we're reading the Scriptures daily and praying and want to be pleasing to Him, what do? The Holy Spirit's able to whisper all these things in our ears, isn't He? Hey, you're walking in the wrong direction. That's not what I want you to do. And have you ever done that? Or you've been walking in the wrong direction? And you didn't realize that you got almost to the end of the road, that you were in on the wrong road? Yes, we've all done that. But what do? We make a quick U-turn and we go back and we get on the right road, the narrow road, not the broad road that leads to destruction. Aren't you thankful that God loves everyone? And we need to be praying for everyone, not only just the people that's in Florida right now going through this hurricane, but we need to be praying for the people all over the world, don't we? You know, Caroline's going to be going not long to Africa. And it's going to be amazing what she sees over there. And we're praying that she'll be able to see Louis and Lois Richard, who's over there. And it's amazing to see the posts that they put on Facebook with all of the young people getting saved and the baptisms that's going on. We need the same thing, don't we? You just got back from a mission trip. It's amazing what God's doing, isn't it?
It is, but we had 19 baptized at Osborne Sunday, so he's working here too.
And that's what we need. And if any of you fellas get up at before 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm on a prayer meeting with a group all over the country here, and it's about anywhere from 15 to 25 guys every morning, and all of them are praying for revival. All of them is energizing one another to go out and to share the gospel and talk to other people. And it's amazing what God wants to do with us. He wants to use us. We're his mouthpiece, aren't we? And we need to tell them, you need to start reading this book. And we need to, if we need to take a Bible to somebody so that they'll start reading it, we need to do it. Let's just praise him and thank him. Sorry, I went over time. Father, we thank you that there's no clock in heaven. Father, we thank you that we'll never have to stop worshiping you and praising you and thanking you for all that you have done for each and every one of us here who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Lord, we thank you that you began a good work in us, and you've promised to continue that good work until the appearing of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you're working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And we want to be well-pleasing to you. We want to hear you say that one day to us when you come for us. And so we just commit our time to you tonight. We commit each one of the believers here tonight. And we praise you and thank you for this great fellowship that we have because of what you did for us and allowing us to come to you and to your Son as the Savior of our souls. And we just ask that you would lead us tonight. Help each one of us to ask these questions to ourselves and to find some friends that we can ask these questions to, and we can maybe share the gospel with them and lead them to Christ. We just praise you and thank you tonight in the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.